White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 527.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! Welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with AwarEagleReader.com and by people like you. You watching on YouTube and Twitter right now, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, you are our Patreon.com family. And thank you so much. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, we are back for our usual show, but we have some people watching us. We have a virtual studio audience, so it's pretty cool, huh?
It's thrilling. Yes, we're very excited. Yes.
Now what the hell is the world coming to?
So I guess we should move on into our agenda since this is technically just us recording the normal show, but it'll just be interesting to see how it plays out since folks are watching us live. So let's see what's on the agenda for tonight. Basketball season. It just kind of, I mean, I'm super, super excited that our basketball season ended on a high note. We beat Tennessee, and there was another game, and we beat Mississippi State. That's cool, right? So I think two out of the last three games we won on a high note. But it's like, it talk about ending with a whimper instead of a bang. It's like the basketball season just kind of, it's like in the old days when we would play our last game, lose the first round of the SEC tournament, and then that would be it, you know. It's kind of bittersweet, I guess.
It is, but I guess we had time to prepare for it, knowing that we weren't going to be in any postseason play.
Yeah.
So we had time to prepare ourselves for that, but it did seem sudden. But I'm really glad that they won two out of the last three games because, you know, right before that, there was the big swoon when things were going really bad and we were getting, you know, our brains beat in. And so I'm really glad that they kind of righted the ship at the end of the season and had some positive notes to end on and some things to kind of build on in the off season instead of just, you know, continually getting their brains bashed in.
Yeah. This was a weird season. I mean, if you want to kind of look back over what they went through, it was, you know, they started out kind of struggling, but I thought they did about as well as they could considering they didn't have a point guard the first several games of the year. Justin Powell did about it. I mean, he was really coming on there right before he got hurt. He was turning into a scoring machine as well as having to handle the point guard situation. And then we did, like, the team just completely change. It was like a whole different team for a while with Sharif being the point guard, you know. But we didn't have really a shooting. We didn't have a lot of offense, you know. And then it changed again when he went out and when we became an Alan Flanagan team with some help, you know. Some of the bit players, and I've always said one thing that's always impressed me about Bruce Pearl's teams is that there's always the two or three stars, you know, either like a point guard, a shooting guard, something like that. But Bruce always manages to put three or four kind of role players on the team that get the key rebounds, make the, you know, in the paint shots, just like they're not spectacular at anything, but they can just go out there and give you some good solid minutes, you know. And we've had a number of those over the last few years, and we have them again, including the Dylan Cardwell making the three-pointer, leading the team in three-point percentage.
That was fun.
That was awesome. So yeah, what did you think about this season, kind of looking back on the roller coaster that it was?
It was. I mean, the biggest disappointment for me is just that we never got to see the team as it should have been, as it could have been.
Right?
We never got to see the whole picture with Sharif and Powell and Thor and everybody playing together. That never happened. So that's disappointing and frustrating. I think, like, the pieces coming and going really hampered the team's development. where instead of being a linear kind of get better over the course of the season, there was kind of two steps forward and one step back and and that kind of thing. So that was tough. So and I think, you know, especially when the team – when Sharif did not play, and especially when neither Powell nor Sharif played, there were some games where the offense was really ugly, which is understandable. And they kind of figured it out at the end when Jamal Johnson moved over and played point a little bit more, and that made a big difference. But there was some ugly games there, and that was tough. But the other thing that I think about over the course of the season that would have made such a difference is no home court advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn Arena has turned into one of the best home court advantages that any team in college basketball has, and especially for a young team like this, to have that energy of the crowd behind them, kind of carrying them and pushing them on, it would have made a real difference for them, I think. For sure. And so to play in those quiet, dead arenas, I think really impacted this team more than some veteran teams probably.
No, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And it just continued that weird sports year from 2020 where – you know, if a game is played and nobody sees it except on TV, did it really happen kind of thing? You know, the from the empty racetracks to the empty football. Well, the football stadiums weren't that empty, to be honest. That's which was kind of suspect in some of these places. But, yeah, I know it would have made a certainly in a closed space like that. It certainly would have made a difference. But you made a good point here that a year ago we were breaking down the tournament bracket and how we felt about Auburn's chances and felt pretty good. And I mean, yeah, last year's team, you know, we had gotten spoiled 2 years ago, but last year's team was one of the best Auburn basketball teams ever. If they weren't following a Final Four team, we'd have been thinking of them as right up there in the top five ever, you know. So isn't that crazy? So I guess, you know, this year we were super, super young, freshmen and sophomores only. They were going to take a step back. And then you throw in no point guard much of the year, no shooting guard much of the year. Like you said, we never had the entire team on the court at one time the entire year. It's weird to think how much changed over the space of a year. And then you throw in the COVID nightmare, as you said, and it's just been a weird 12 months or so for everything, but including Auburn basketball. So what are we thinking coming up? I mean, does this season just go as a learning experience and we move ahead?
Yes, but I mean, we had to enjoy it for the games that we had, and there were some fun times in there. Like you said, the Cardwell 3 was a fun moment on Saturday, and that game overall was pretty fun. I think, you know, this team, because of everything that's happened in the last year, didn't get to do the kind of off-season training that they normally would, excuse me. But they're gonna take a week off and then spend like 5 weeks doing weight room and conditioning stuff. And I think for the players that are returning, that's gonna make a huge difference. You know, the younger players especially, you look at some of those guys, Thor and some of those other guys, they need to spend time in the weight room. And you know, they get bigger, stronger, faster, it's gonna make a big difference next year. So I'm excited about that. And I think that'll make a difference. And I think, you know, we look at a team next year. It's got two great players coming in, you know, a forward and a shooting guard. And I mean, the forward's the highest rated player that we've ever had, Jabari Smith, ever recruited at Auburn. Yeah. And Trey Alexander, the shooting guard, is a guy that all the big basketball schools wanted. And so, you know, another good guard clearly couldn't hurt us. I think there is still a strong chance that Sharif Cooper goes pro. I think that's just the reality. We have to live with it, and it's not what we want to happen. But I'm happy for him. If he goes pro, gets drafted, has a great career, super. Be good for him. So I think what it's going to open up is it's going to open up the possibility for Auburn to bring in like a transfer point guard. So like a veteran point guard from a smaller school, and it'll be the most attractive point guard opportunity in the country.
No kidding.
So Auburn will kind of get its pick of all the transfer point guards, and Bruce and the staff can evaluate them and then pick who they want. And there were a number this current season who moved up from smaller schools to big schools who made a big difference. And so I think it'll be the same again. You know, I do think there'll be some turnover in the roster in addition to Sharif Cooper. I mean, none of the players is a senior, but you're adding two high-profile players to a team that already – you know, was 10, 11 players deep. So I think it is unreasonable to think that every single one of those guys is going to come back next year. I think somebody, you know, out of that group is going to go, is going to transfer, try to go pro or something. So I think it's somebody besides Sharif's going to leave.
I think Bruce said that as many as four players were being evaluated by the NBA.
Sure.
So, I mean, I hope we don't lose Thor. He's got a long way to go. I mean, he's going to get so much better.
Yeah, you could see that, like, his ceiling is so high that for where he is to where he could be unreal, otherworldly.
I wish I'd thought of this during the season, called him Mr. Fantastic because he stretches his arms like Reed Richards to grab things and block. It's like he's this size, but then his arms go, you know. So it was always fun when the ball would come down into a group. It'd be like him and two defenders, and he'd always get the ball because he could just reach higher, get above them, you know, out-jump them and out-reach. So you had a note here, will you watch the SEC and NCAA tournaments? I'm certainly going to watch everything. I mean, I'm actually in a point now where I really am enjoying basketball the last few years where, you know, there was a period there where certain coaches that will go unnamed, Barbie, just pretty much crushed all the basketball love out of my heart. I had no interest in watching somebody else play well if we couldn't play well. But, you know, now that the sport seems attractive again, I'll absolutely watch it. Won't you?
I will. I mean, I'm very excited. I've always loved the NCAA tournament. It's one of my favorite sporting events of the whole year. And I'm excited for that. If you have not looked at the schedule for this year, you should do so because it's weird.
Yeah.
It's not normal. There are second round games on a Monday.
There's no Thursday games this year? Is that it?
There's the whatever the first four, whatever the play-in kind of games that were traditionally like on Wednesday night are now on Thursday. And they're doing that because they want teams to have a couple days. They're doing it all in Indiana, and they want teams to have a couple days to get there, get settled, and practice before they start playing the game. So the regular Thursday first-round games are going to be on Friday. So the first round's going to be Friday, Saturday. The second round's going to be Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, that is strange. That's and they'll be, as we talked about on last week's show, back home again in Indiana. Hey, people from Chillicothe.
I didn't see anybody in the crowd request that. Although it's not bad. Gin neighbors.
Wait, see, it's right there. AU Wishbone, whoever that guy is, all Wishbone is asking for it. Yeah, it's a Chillicothe thing for some reason, I guess, that we sing back home in Indiana, even though we're from Alabama. Okay, so anything else basketball-related before we turn to the pigskin?
No, other than just, I think, enjoy every season we can. Well, you know, while we have a great coach and a good team. Like, it's, you know, it's easy to get spoiled by the success that we've had. And I can't wait to see, you know, this was, again, one of the youngest team in the SEC, the second youngest team in all of college basketball. Not just like, you know, major pro games, but all whatever 350 schools. It was the second youngest team. And I think their growth is going to be exponential next year.
Yeah, I always remind everybody that, like, you know, back in when we were there in the late 80s and I didn't go to the 88 Sugar Bowl, I'm like, oh, that's okay. They'll be back in the Sugar Bowl every year for the next 20 years. And within 2 years, we were 8-5, and then Pat Dye was gone, you know, a couple of years later. So I'm not saying Bruce is getting ready to leave or anything. I'm just saying you can't take it for granted.
In a similar vein, Auburn played an NCAA tournament game in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. you know, 2002, yeah. something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I had to work that day, and I didn't take off work and watch the game. And then we were in the tournament again for like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, so you got to – I mean, you just have to embrace the – if we – you know, we're not a program in any sport, honestly, not even swimming and diving anymore, that just, you know, consistently every year is at the final stages of everything. And so we've got to enjoy things while we can. Football, anything going on currently? I mean, I know A-Day is coming up.
Yeah, practice starts next Monday, a week from today. And they're going to practice Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then like Saturday also, I think. And then for 2 weeks, they take a week off, and then two more weeks, and then end with a day. A couple other scrimmages built in on Saturday. So
it's always interesting when we have a new coach and maybe a new system. I mean, when Gus came in the spring, in the beginning of 2013 with his new staff and everything, the thing was, we kind of knew what to expect. You know, we figured we were going to get 2009, 2010, 2011 kind of thing back, and we pretty much did. In fact, you know, as I mentioned that, the really weird thing about it was that I thought we would be even more wacky crazy, and that was when we all discovered that it was actually apparently Chizik that was the Riverboat Gambler Jr., and Gus is like,
yeah, we ain't going to be doing that. We ain't going to be doing that. What, two?
They did like two-point conversions and an onside kick, and then they're like,
yeah, we ain't gonna be doing that no more.
So, you know, it's been a long time since we had an A day where we really had no idea what the offense was going to look like, or the defense, honestly.
See, you're giving away the secret doing the live show, Van. People thought Gus was actually on the podcast.
Oh, well, see, he just couldn't be here tonight, so I'm just doing a silly little imitation of him. Yeah, but I've still got him on here. You know, I still, if the occasion ever comes, I can still go to.
We gotta get better at celebrating.
Oh, I'm gonna miss that one. That's
it's a classic.
But you know, Gus isn't walking through that door.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
And Gus is not walking through that door, but Brian Harsin is walking through that door. And I saw today a video where the local Boise newscaster, sportscaster, was reporting when they thought he was going to leave, and the dude was like breaking down in tears on the air. So I hope we're as fond of him in a year or two as Boise apparently was when he left. That'd be nice, you know. I hope so. Well, one of the things that we were talking about doing, and we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I just thought it might be fun before we go to our break and have listener questions and Jared sent us in a new Guess the Game and the Year, which will be fun. But I was thinking, you know, I forgot what brought this up, but there was something I heard or saw on some show or some podcast or something this week, and I thought what would be interesting would be to kind of rank the running backs that Gus had at his disposal during his 8 years. And I wrote down the following. Let me just kind of run down the list, and then we can see how you want to do it. But in somewhat chronological order, here's how I have it. I know that this is just running backs like tailbacks. It does not include H-backs, fullbacks, anything like that. And I probably left a couple of, you know, random ones off, but these are the ones I remember that had any playing time for the most part. Okay, there was Trey Mason, Cameron Artis Payne, and by the way, in 2019 we had a receiver on our roster named Cameron Payne, but not Artis. He was missing that all important Artis component. Corey Grant, Peyton Barber, Jovan Robinson, Kerryon Johnson, Cameron Petway, Rock Thomas, Cam Martin, Sean Shivers, DJ Williams. These guys sound like they were all on the team at once last year. Devin Barrett, Booby Whitlow, Tank Bigsby, Harold Joyner, and Mark Anthony Richards. Is there anybody I'm leaving off that comes to mind?
Not really.
Yeah, I think that's plenty. So we know that Cameron Artis Payne ended up with way more yards than people think he had.
All right, back up two steps.
Okay.
What are we doing here?
I just want to see who would you rank. We could, you know what we could do is we could like go in like three tiers. How about that?
But give me some criteria. Is it I'm the coach at Auburn and I have them at their whatever their last best year at Auburn, and I can pick who I want to play for one game, one season, or is it who do I think did the best with their relative competition and how good the offensive line, the players were around him?
Well, you see, John, you've exposed the fact that I hadn't really put a lot of thought into this. it's not a bad idea. I mean, whatever, however you want to think of it.
All right, so let's say I like your tiers idea. We could divide them into three buckets or whatever, right?
Then we can throw out the bottom bucket and work our way to the top bucket, yeah.
And so I think, you know, what we're looking for is just – over the course of a season, their best season, how good were they?
Okay. Right? Okay.
So let's start there, right?
Okay.
And so who – you want to start at the bottom?
I'm going to say let's – we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. let's eliminate the bottom five, okay?
Okay.
I think we got to throw out Harold Joyner. You going to do it? I'm going to do it.
I'll do it. Keep going.
Okay, good. I'm going to throw out Harold Joyner. You're highlighting. Yeah, there we go. All right. Harold Joyner's out of here. I mean, again, he could have been great. We don't know, and we can't go on hypothetical. We have to go on what they actually were able to produce on the field. So Harold Joyner, hit the showers. Devin Barrett has to go, right? I mean, maybe he'll have an awesome year this year. He's back.
That's what I'm saying.
But for now.
Star of 2021, Devin
Barrett. Those two were easy. Rock Thomas.
You got Mark Anthony Richards on here. He carried the ball like five times.
He's out of here. Kick him loose. Kick him.
Rock Thomas fits in this, I think.
Rock Thomas has got to go. He carried the ball like three times and fumbled to Alabama.
He caught a bunch of passes. I appreciate that. Wow. I think DJ Williams, again, one great run against LSU.
That's about it. Dude, for somebody that big and strong looking, he could not fall forward.
I would never understand how he had that run against LSU and then did not do that again.
And went out of bounds.
Yeah.
He runs that in, we win the game.
Yeah. And maybe LSU doesn't win the national title. Oh. It's that kind of play.
For that alone, he can have a 1,000-yard season. I'm kicking his butt out. All right. Here's what we got left.
Recap, and then I got some thoughts.
Okay. Here's what we got. I just want to make sure, because, again, folks can't see it, and the folks listening on the podcast can't see it, so I'm going to tell you. We are now down to Trey Mason, Cameron Artis Payne, Corey Grant, Peyton Barber, Javon Robinson, Kerryon Johnson, Cameron Petway, Cam Martin, Sean Shivers, Booby Whitlow, Tank Bigsby. So you want to now figure out the middle, get the five more?
Yes.
Eliminate five more? I like this. This is working well, I think.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to paste them into Word and share my screen so that the live studio audience can watch us walk through this.
So I'm thinking about this while you're doing that. You can delete, did you know in 2019 we had a wide receiver on the roster named Cameron Payne? That is pretty freaking weird, though, you got to admit. You got to admit, having a guy named Cameron Payne spelled the same way, just doesn't have an artist in the middle of it. But here's where I'm – while you're doing that, I'll tell you where I'm kind of leaning. Oh, okay. Hold on. There we go. I had to add it to the screen.
Yeah, hold on.
This is fascinating.
Yeah,
it makes for fascinating radio.
Stupid Word decided to open off the top of the screen.
Well, it's okay. We can see it. It looks good. Looks fine.
I'm not happy until it's like this.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to make the font bigger.
Okay. I'll try to edit all this out for the audio people.
No. This is good stuff. All right.
Okay, good. Yeah, you can ditch the... Right. There we go.
Now we're live. All right.
I like invisible running back between Sean Shivers and Booby Whitlow. He had a good year, man. Oh, there we go. All right. So we're down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All right. So five more have to go. I'm thinking, yeah. So Cam Martin and Sean Shivers, they both had moments, right? They both had their moments. Oh, did I spell it wrong? Sorry. So Cam Martin, Sean Shivers, appreciate your – and Sean Shivers had a play that will live forever. It will live forever in Auburn lore. But that's one play. Get him out of here. All right.
Javon and Corey Grant.
Corey Grant. I mean, he was the sweep guy when the sweep wasn't there. It just wasn't working.
He had a 1,000-yard season, but wasn't that
he did?
Was that pre-Gus?
No. Well, I think 13 was his first. Oh gosh, he was the leading rusher the very first game against Washington State. He had like a 70-yard run against Washington State, but that was pretty much the high point of his Auburn career. I know he had a pretty decent NFL career, but I think he's the next one to go on that list. Honestly,
I keep going. I'm looking up some things here.
Okay, I'm gonna say. Did you already get him? No, Corey Grant. I'm going to say Corey Grant. All right, so now
Javon Robinson is the next one.
Yeah, he had such potential, but I don't think he ever lived up to it.
He had moments, but no.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to work down to our top five and top one, so go ahead and get rid of Javon. He would have been a great back if he had his head on straight. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. I remember that Brandon Marcello all used to say that Javon Robinson was a really interesting guy to talk to, and I never got the full details on why. One of our listeners, too, knew him and said he was a really good guy, but I don't just feel like he ever really kind of got into Gus's he got out of Gus's doghouse. So, you know, the funny thing here is when I look at this list, Trey Mason, Cameron Artis Payne, Peyton Barber, Kerryon Johnson, Cameron Petway, Booby Whitlow, and Tank Bigsby. Peyton Barber had a 1,000-yard season and led the team in rushing that year. You know, I mean, he did. You getting rid of him?
No, I'm. It's Peyton with an E.
Oh, okay.
No, I think Peyton Barber was incredibly underrated. I think he was a productive, dependable back. I think, I mean, to me, out of this group, I look at, you know, I look at like Petway and Booby Whitlow.
Yeah, they had their moments. I mean, Whitlow
had two dependable seasons, but I don't think he's on the side. I don't think he's on the same level as these other guys. And Petway had his moments too, but
Petway, if he could have stayed healthy, Petway was a dominant SEC back. We would have beaten Clemson that year if he had been the featured back in that game for us.
Yep.
He didn't even play in the Clemson game. If he had been the featured back in that Clemson game, but what they actually did, they both had a year or two that were really good, but compared to those other guys, see, here's the thing, John. I would take a healthy Cameron Petway over Peyton Barber, but we never really had much of a healthy Cameron Petway.
Yeah, I agree.
So let them go, both of them.
All right. Down to five.
Trey Mason, Cameron Artis Payne, Peyton Barber, Kerryon Johnson, and Tank Bigsby. I think now Peyton Barber will be the next one to go. I think, as we can agree on that.
I think Tank.
Yeah.
I think Tank is the future Tank. No, but this year's Tank, I think, yes, he didn't get that many touches.
Body of work. All right, Tank goes. Wow. Peyton Barber is in the top four. That surprises me. I didn't expect that.
I mean, I think it's fine to say you could take him next, but I think, honestly, for me, between him and Cameron Artis Payne is pretty close.
Well, remember, Cameron Artis Payne quietly had one of the best seasons in Auburn history in 2014.
I looked this up because I wanted to be able to say this when we got to him. In 2014, Cameron Artis Payne had 300 carries for 1,651 yards, 13 touchdowns.
I mean, that's doing some work. Mm-hmm. People have no idea that he did that. They have no idea because he was a very reliable backup to Trey in 13. But that's insane. Yeah. He even scored a touchdown in the SEC championship game when Trey was getting 300 yards.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So Peyton Barber needs to go. Get him out of here. Trey Mason, Cameron Artis Payne, and Kerryon Johnson. And think about it. That's they all played in an SEC championship game. Or at least got us to an SEC championship game, even if they were hurt, you know, with Kerryon. They all got us to one SEC championship game and scored. And
Payne is clearly the least of these three.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you put Kerryon Johnson on the 2014 team, he could have done. I don't know if he was as durable as Cameron Artis Payne, but I think in terms of his talent, he could have done even more with that team.
His ceiling was higher.
So, we're down to two. We're down to Trey Mason and Kerryon Johnson. If it's Twitter antics, I'm taking Kerryon. But if I got to have one back in one game, I'm taking Trey Mason from 2013. You agree?
I think I have to agree.
Yeah.
I love Kerryon.
Oh, yeah.
I think I got to agree, though. Trey Mason was unbelievable that year.
We do love Kerryon. But I haven't gotten to play that in 4 years. Wow. I also haven't gotten to play.
Who is this guy? I don't know, but he's in a tank.
I got running back sound clips all over the place. That was thanks to Jared right there. But yeah, I think the winner of our break it down thing has got to be Trey Mason. And I thought I had my little. No, I don't want the Soviet national anthem. That doesn't do us any good. I'm not talking about Alabama.
The Soviet national anthem always is a go-to.
We're not talking about Alabama.
Do you have Ode to Joy?
Well, I've reshuffled everything now, and I don't. Where did it go?
Come on, man.
I can't. Oh, here it is. All right. So our winner. John is holding up the Van Playing with Soundboard sign. So our winner of greatest running back in the Gus Malzahn era is Trey Mason. There we go. There we go. All right. Let me get our situation situated again. Boom. There we are. Okay. Well, that was fun. Let's see. Do we have any other football news? You have something about a transfer rule.
Oh, yeah. It broke on Twitter tonight. The NCAA is going to have a vote after their NCAA wide meeting after the Final Four to approve a one-year, basically anybody can transfer during the next academic year. And they've been talking about it for a while. Players have been moving, assuming it's going to happen. And they're basically going to give everybody kind of a one-time exemption thing to transfer somewhere else if they want to. So it's coming. We should prepare for it. It's going to impact, both football and basketball.
Yeah.
And other sports as well. So
I like the idea that Bruce can basically just now announce to all of the basketball programs in America, attention, basketball point guards, you could play for a Final Four team. Apply now. And just go, I'll take you. And that would be awesome, man. Just,
You know what? You've given me a new way to look at the NCAA tournament this year. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to be like the shopping channel.
Like the shopping channel!
Some small school with some really awesome point guard. We're going to be like, yes. You could be an Auburn next year.
You, yes, you will be the bride of the lost skeleton. I mean the point guard of the Auburn Tigers next year. Well, all he's got to say is, look, I didn't think I would be needing a top-flight point guard this year, but my last one has gone off in the lottery to the NBA after playing like 12 games. And they'll be like, I'd like to be in that program, please, sir. May I, please? That would be delightful. And he'll say, well, we'll just sign right up here, son. Come on down to the plane. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Very, very much looking forward to that. Let's see where we are. Okay, so it's time to thank everybody. So John kicks back for a second while I do my duty here. This kind of nonsense that you are witnessing like a slow motion car crash on your computer right now or listening to on your podcast app or computer is made possible. It is enabled by our great patrons. There's Coach Pearl making an appearance. Yay, I've got one of those too. And it is made possible because we have great, great patrons who keep our programs on the air. And for as little as $1 a month, you too, yes, you could be the bride of the lost skeleton of Cadavera, or a patron of our show, whichever. All you got to do is go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and click on the big orange button that says become a patron and sign up. And we're just getting ready to do our March Madness Pick'em. John sets it up on Yahoo where you go in and pick your lineup. It'll be great. You can compete against us, too, and against your fellow patrons of the AU Wishbone, the Auburn family. So we'll be doing that. We'll be setting up our Formula One Fantasy League where you get to draft like 5 drivers in a team, which is really fun, and lose to Mira every year and her team Del Taco Racing. It's a great, great fun thing. We do stuff all through the year. So as little as $1 a month, www.auwishbone.com. Here are the awesome, awesome people currently helping us to stay on the air. They include, and I have to scroll down here because something's out of order. Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Samuel Salvatore, and Christopher Burleson. Thank you very, very much, gentlemen. Plus Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, Joel Beckham, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, WDE Ritchie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Alex Nguyen, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner and Chris the Hilton. Chris is it's just that's where you fall in the thing. You get the V. Colby Butler, Danny Flack, as well as Darris Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, and not a minute too soon, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Owlgorithm, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Shannon Butson, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Tony Perry, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Brandon Smith, Chris Como, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Lawrence Kane, man, we're so glad we have you guys, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, Mick Vigicana, Nicholas Craig, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Robert O. Sammons, Russell Souther, we're on the home stretch, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, that's the truth, Ruth, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Kathleen, welcome aboard, Kathleen, woo! Our newest member, Kenneth Britt Rains, Brant Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors, we thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now, yeah, Auburn Elvis is John wearing an Auburn shirt, because otherwise...
He prepared for this.
Yeah, Elvis, if he hadn't been, I would have already had Scandal Rocks AU Wishbone banner, but I don't need it. All right. So, and now let's see. Before we do the listener questions, we have Jared's Guess the Game. Are you ready? This will be fun. We haven't gotten to do a live version of Guess the Game.
I am ready, and I want, if you are in the live studio audience, I want you to guess in the chat when you start hearing it.
Oh, good. He's calling you out, peeps. He's calling you out. Let's see what you got. So Jared said this one should be easy. And I'm like, Jared, don't give us easy ones, man. I'm enjoying the challenge. Give us a good hard one next time. But let's see what he came up with, because he's doing the work on this. So I trust him. Here, let me do this and click on that. And here we go.
Hello, Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, a.k.a. the Death Probe, a.k.a. the Yard Sale Artist, with your next edition of Guess the Game. As I mentioned before, I am at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So if any listeners out there have any suggestions about Guess the Game clips, I am all ears. But with that said, let's get into Guess the Game. For this one, it's pretty short. And of course, you will start with the hard file, where it is short and the names are bleeped. But I have all the confidence in the world in you. And before we start this one, I just want to say, amazing job, Van Allen Plexico, on the last one, which was the 2002 Auburn-Syracuse game. I messed it up and said 2001. My life lesson there is never trust the dates that you see on YouTube. I should have known better. But Van, you did a great job of picking that one up real fast. And I suspect that you and John are going to pick this one up fast, too. So without any further ado, let's get into this week's Guess the Game. Here we go.
There's a snap to pressure off the edge. He's flushed out. He's running around. He's in trouble. He's going down. The Tigers are going to win. Goes down in a heap back at the 44-yard line.
Okay, there you have it. I think you probably got it, even on the hard level. But if you want the hint file, then it's going to be there for you. Good luck, fellas.
I think I know this one. What are your thoughts, John? This one, I think this one's like pretty obvious.
Auburn radio broadcast.
Yes, that was Rod Bramblett.
And I think that was that the end of the A&M game?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Let's see. I'm looking over in the comments now, and I agree with Josh. And Auburn Elvis has corrected himself.
2013, was it D. Ford chasing Manziel around?
Yep.
I think that was the play.
Yeah, we had come back and driven down. This was... I mean, really, if you look at a moment in the 2013 season that we all kind of went, you know what? This could be a special year. I think it was this game. It was the end of this game, because we talked about how we talked last week or week before last about how the Mississippi State game was so important. Remember, I forget what context it came up in, but that was true. It was really important to keep winning. But this is the game where I thought we could beat anybody. Oh, look at what Elvis says. Is it 2021 Penn State? Well, we'll see. Hey, Josh, I got it too, man. You don't win anything. You win a bucket of pride just like me. All right, I want to hear Jared's hint. You know, there we go, golf clap. I want to hear Jared's hint, but I'm sure it's just going to say Johnny Manziel. So here we go.
All right, you've elected to play the hint file, so here it is, unbleeped, and there's no way you're not going to get it at this point, even though I suspect you probably already have. But here we go. No bleeps.
There's the snap to Manziel. Pressure off the edge. He's flushed out. He's running around. He's in trouble. He's going down. The Tigers are going to win. The Tigers are going to win. Johnny Manziel goes down in a heap back at the 44-yard line.
That's it. I bet you got it now.
All right, and go ahead and finish it out just to be thorough and get his answer in.
All right, Van and John, if you guessed that this was your Auburn Tigers playing the Texas A&M Aggies in 2013, then of course, you guessed right. Before I sign off, I just want to say one last thing. It just feels like you might not have read all your listener send-ins on the last episode. I don't know how I would know that. I just have this feeling that they didn't get read. It's not like I had set up some kind of a secret cabal or something behind the scenes to get invited on the road trip, because that would be and petty. And two things I'm not are, I am small and petty. Anyway, War Eagle, everybody, and I'll catch you guys next time.
Nice work, Jared. That's awesome. I tell you what, we've done a lot of things over the years, and, you know, a lot of them were me trying to be funny and probably failing, but I think Jared's Guess the Game of the Year is one of my favorite things. I hope he just keeps doing this as long as he can keep finding files for us. I'm really enjoying it. And I think
it's fun. I am enjoying it as well.
Yeah, I think the audience likes it too. So Josh has a listener question live, which is, where does Alabama finish in the tourney? What do you think? Are they going to win it?
SEC tourney? Or not, yeah. Not the SEC tourney, NCAA tournament. I think, we've seen everybody else. They got a good chance to win the SEC tourney, because I think I look around, Tennessee, Florida, Arkansas is coming on. So that's the team I kind of like maybe to give them a shot. Yeah, Arkansas. But that's the only team I really see that's hot right now I think could beat them. So maybe Arkansas. I mean, they're a solid team. I think they'll win a game or two in the NCAA tournament, but that's it, I think.
There we go. No, I agree with you. How far are they going to get in the NCAA tournament? They're going to get to the...
This is not a round or two, but that's it.
You don't think this is a Final Four Alabama team?
Lord, I hope not.
Oh, God, please, no.
Listen, every game they play, I'm going to be cheering as hard as I can against them, because I don't want them to get anywhere close to that. People forget, but there was a time back, you know, in the 80s, early 90s, they went to the Sweet 16 like 7 years in a row.
But they never got to the Elite Eight until very recently.
Yeah.
Like just a few years ago, they got to the Elite Eight. It's the only time they've ever gotten to the Elite Eight. They've never gotten to the Final Four. We got to the Elite Eight in 86.
Yes.
Yeah, the last Chuck Person year.
We lost to Louisville and never Nervous Purvis Ellison.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
Or no.
Who went on to win the national championship. That was it, yeah. That was the year we beat Arizona in the first round, St. John's in the second round, and UNLV in the third round, and then lost to Louisville in the fourth round that would have gotten us to the Final Four. Yeah, and those were really, really good teams that we played. The Arizona, Lute Olson, always good. St. John's with Carnesecca was really good. And that UNLV team was like the first year of them being UNLV.
Yeah, it was pre the dominant teams, but it was
early stage. Gerald Patio and that whole crowd that were really, really good and future NBA players.
Armin the Hammer Gilliam.
Yes, Armin the Hammer Gilliam and Gerald Patio. That was a good UNLV team. They didn't have like the dudes that ended up like lottery picks, but they had really good players.
They didn't have the Stacey Ogden team.
Right. But we still beat them, ran them out of their building. As we're about to get to listener questions, so I'll pop a couple of these over here, but let me go ahead and queue up the...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
I don't have facts to back this up.
So we do have a listener question right off of the board here. Josh Corbett says, what's y'all's thoughts on what Harsin is doing? Well, I mean... That's what I'm kind of waiting on A-Day for, right? I won't know until I can see something. But I do like the way recruiting seems to be shaping up. Is that fair?
Yeah. No, they are. They're being more aggressive, right? They're offering people earlier. We saw Gus a lot of times wait on the offers and be more cautious with them. And Harsin and the crew are kind of pushing them out. So I think that matters. I think, I'm happy with how they put the coaching staff together and the way they've been kind of communicating in social media and putting stuff out there and stuff. I think that's been good. So I'm pretty happy with that.
I like the fact that Gus kind of knew we would be getting a coach to replace him that used the tight end. And so he went out and got a bunch of tight ends, even though he never planned to use them. So they'd be there for Harsin. How nice was that? Gus is so nice, man.
Stockpiling tight ends.
Yeah. 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 So, I like that. So what do we got otherwise in terms of our, Auburn Elvis notice we have the full version streamer. That's right. Yeah, we do. I've had it for quite a while, so we can actually use it on more than just like one location. So what have we got, John?
We're only doing questions from the chat.
Oh, okay. That works.
We're doing.
Okay. Fire up your questions in the chat.
If you got a question, if you're in the chat and you want to ask a question, now's your chance. Throw it out there. Basketball, football, about the show, whatever. No, I mean, we got some good transfer talent. We got the defensive end from Northwestern. We got a couple other players, and I think we got the cornerback from West Virginia, and we're not done. We're definitely going to get an offensive tackle out of this at some point. And I wouldn't be stunned if we got a wide receiver or running back out of it too. I'd rather get like two offensive linemen, but
yeah, I don't know. Do we need another running back at this point? I guess in the SEC. Well,
Tank, Sean Shivers, Devin Barrett, and freshman.
Yeah.
So if Tank got hurt and missed three games, you going to play Shivers and Devin Barrett? Exactly.
So you got a makeshift offensive line with a very tiny running back and a guy that never could ever break the top three of the rotation at running back. That's not a good formula.
I'm a believer in the Devin Barrett 2.0. I'm just going to say that.
All right. Does seem like Auburn Elvis says it does seem like Harsin's go 1-0 every day attitude is authentic. Yeah, I think everything about him is authentic, and it's just going to be interesting to see how effective it is on the field, you know.
But I think the slogans and all that kind of stuff are one thing, but I think building a culture where people work and know that they got to improve every day, just do the little thing in front of them, not think about the big, you know, stuff, the whole season and all that kind of stuff, but just what can we do today to do it well and get better?
Let's see. Couple things here. Josh asked, what will Gus do at Auburn 2.0 UCF? I think he'll probably go 9-3 every year.
But I think in the short term, they got a really good team. It's a really good conference, but it's really them and Cincinnati at the top. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's going to be really fun to see them and Cincinnati kind of duke it out for the top spot in that conference and potentially New Year's Day playoff berth, not playoff, but the big New Year's Day bowl berth.
Well, there's not much difference. You got to get up for Alabama. You got to get for Cincinnati. It's about the same. It's about the same thing. As, you know, you get up for Cincinnati, in Alabama. About the same. About equal. It's about the same thing for me.
Hey, you know, we'll see. Rusty says odds that Cooper comes back next year. I got it at about 15%.
I think that's about right. It's March. When do you start the Harsin imitation practice? And you got to get in shape before the season. We need some Harsin. You got to be. I want you to be like downloading like Harsin press conferences and just listen to them over and over so you can.
The Harsin thing I have so far is he just kind of goes and goes and goes and goes and goes, you know. So I haven't thought about really getting his tone yet. He has to, you know. Gus had to say some things that were memorable before I could, because you know it all with Gus. It all started with he's special. Yeah, he's special. He has a chance to be special.
And from there,
good week. We had a good week. Let's see. What are your thoughts on the likelihood those Georgia-Bama recruiting allegations turn into anything? I haven't heard any Georgia-Bama recruiting allegations.
What he's talking about is former Alabama high school coach Rust Proust is now coaching in South Georgia, and he got busted, and there's audio of him alleging Georgia players, Alabama players got paid. So I'm not holding my breath if that amounts to anything.
Shocking. Shocking.
But also, like, that guy turned out to be a dirtbag, not shocking.
Yeah, yeah. That's my Sean Connery. Shocking. Let's see. Josh says Harson's Energizer Bunny. He's not Terry Bowden, but I do kind of wish that I could be back, like, in behind the media and be like, okay, wrap it up. That's good, you know. But I think he was probably just nervous. He got his first, you know, I'm sure he'll graduate up to saying nothing very soon, just like the rest of them.
Well, I think that, to me, outside of the football piece, that is the big dynamic this year that's going to be interesting. At Boise State, he talked to the media more. He said more. His coordinators talked to the media after every game and said a lot. And so will that continue, or will he get the kind of the SEC paranoia mentality and lock it all down and go back to saying nothing in as few words as possible?
Josh asks, will Bruce have us playing better next year? Oh, I think there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt. Because this was such a young team and kept having so many injuries or eligibility issues. If we can just have a normal year with some fans in the arena, if not all, and not have our best shooting guard with a concussion 2/3 of the year and not have our point guard out with eligibility issues half the year and then get hurt. I mean, just letting them have some consistency, letting them practice together, letting them play together, this team's improvement is going to look even more dramatic than we went from 17, 18, 19, yeah. I think.
Well, and we have, again, super young team. We're going to bring a lot of talent back and add talent, and a lot of other teams in the SEC and around the country are going to lose a lot of great players.
Yeah. I saw a funny thing on Twitter. They had a picture of, Taj Shemshadin, I never knew how to pronounce him. Remember him? He gave his shoulders for Auburn basketball. He kept hurting his poor shoulders, man. I'd never seen anything like that. That was crazy. I have one other question off the top of my head. Who's going to be our leading wide receiver next year, this fall? Is it somebody?
A good question.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Kobe Hudson. It's my guess.
Okay.
Xavion Capers.
Yeah.
He was pretty good.
One of them got hurt, right, toward the end?
Yeah, I think he got hurt at the end of the year. Elijah Canyon. But no, I like Kobe Hudson. I think he could be kind of a number one guy. Good with the ball in his hands, good as a receiver, can kind of do it all.
So Seth Williams is going to end up in the NFL draft. Is that correct? He's gone, right?
Yeah. Well, they're all gone. I mean, he and Schwartz declared for the NFL draft, and Stove did too. Well, I don't know if Stove's going to get drafted, but he's not coming back.
I guess for some reason, I just never heard anything about Seth. I knew the other two guys had gone.
Oh, yeah.
Seth
was the one that was.
Yeah, I assumed so, but for some reason, I just never heard confirmation of that. So, okay. Any other questions on your mind or anything or anybody else out there before we go to our Around the SEC and wrap it up?
Somebody asked if you've gotten the vaccine yet.
I've gotten one of the Pfizer, and I guess they're going to email me in a few days to go get my second one. Maddie got her second one yesterday, and she's been fine. She didn't even feel a thing, hardly. My wife will get her second one in a few days, and I get it a few days after her. So you said you were still waiting, right? You haven't popped up yet.
We're not in a priority group, so it'll be okay. So I have a question for you. All right, here's a question for everybody listening right now. Which returning player caught the most passes and which, you know, for the most yards?
Is it a receiver, or are you throwing in like running backs and crap?
Well, okay, so we'll do one with all positions, and then we'll do one with just receivers. So all positions included, who caught the most passes in the returning?
I'm going to say Sean Shivers.
Tank Bigsby.
Wow, okay. Interesting.
The most yards returning was John Samuel Shanker.
Okay, that's cool. But
most catches was Bigsby. All right, so now out of returning receivers most catches?
Capers? I feel like I heard his name called more.
Are you ready for it? It's a three-way tie.
Dan Thompson's tanking all positions. That's a fair guess, Dan.
It's a three-way tie. Capers, Hudson, and J.J. Pegues.
J.J., yes! J.J., yeah. Oh.
We need like a 70s TV show theme for J.J. Pegues where he, you know, like where a Camaro peels out at the end or something. You know what I'm saying? Like J.J. Pegues.
Yeah, that would... I like it. We can put something like that together. I'm just looking forward to seeing him do more stuff. Stuff a big guy shouldn't do. You know, like catching passes and running into the end zone and stuff. It's just, I always like those players that seem like they're out of position and do crazy stuff in that position, you know? So it's like they've made it all the way through school, through high school, into college, and they're still playing at the wrong position and doing well at it. And that makes me happy.
I mean, I Josh is asking, will Harsin use him? I think he will use Pegues. I think he's a talent, and he's a guy that, you know, I think Harsin takes advantage of what his players can do, and I think Pegues can make plays.
Yeah.
We saw it. He has the ability to make plays. So I think he can get in there and make stuff happen.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Yeah. I do enjoy that. All right. If we have any other questions, hit me with them as I take our trip here. I have to. It always has a long lead in. I'm going to redo this one.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
And I say you.
Please clap.
All right. So what's going on around the SEC? I mean, just getting ready for spring games, practice. I don't know. I mean,
really, very little.
waiting to see. The thing on my mind is how much leeway will Florida continue to give Mullen? Because I think Mullen is a really good coach. But they're so, I mean, it's funny. We get all this flack for being demanding. But honestly, isn't the Florida fan base at least as demanding as we are?
Didn't, I mean, they went to the SEC championship game. They gave Alabama a good game.
They did. They did.
I mean, I think people look at that team and go, it's not Mullen and the offense's fault. It's Ty Grantham.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Josh asks, how much does Nick's improve? Well, that's predicated on him improving. I think he will. I think he's going to be in a system and with coaches that are better suited to making him a more versatile and effective quarterback. I think that the question continues to be, what kind of offensive line is he going to have to enable him to do anything?
No, I mean, I think we have two coaches who are really good quarterback coaches, right?
Yeah.
And Harsin and Bobo. And I think they're going to work with Bo Nix and make him better. I think it's going to be, you know, a different coaching and develop him more and better. You know, will we be more effective on offense? I don't know. I mean, we had great receivers last year, and we're kind of doing it without it. But I do really like the non-conference schedule at the beginning. You know, the three, you know, especially kind of three of the first four kind of cupcakey kind of games that we can work the kinks out. He could build up some confidence before we get into the meat of the schedule.
All right. Well, anything else for tonight's effort before we wrap up?
No, other than like to thank the people that joined us this evening. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for welcoming us into your homes. And while John distracts you, I'll be stealing your silverware. But other than that, I think it was good. So, all right. All right. So I guess in the future, we may or may not do this on and off. We'll just, you and I can chat about whether we want to do it more often or less often or whatever. But it's always nice when we can do a little video to go with the audio. So as long as it doesn't mess up the show, you know, I don't want to mess up the audio show to suit the folks on the video. But I don't think it did. So, all right. All right, John. Well, I guess our time is up. We thank you for yours. Wiggle, John.
Wiggle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.